This is with regards to the parking issue and generally, you know, causing harm or inconveniencing another person in any way whatsoever. Reading through this, a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to mind. Ibtaqul anain, abstain from those things that causes people to utter a curse against us. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam refers to in that hadith specifically would be urinating or passing stool under a tree that bears fruits. The hadith implies specifically to that situation. But if we take it in the general context, then how apt and how beautiful the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, that refrain from doing anything that would cause another person to utter a curse against us. And obviously inconveniencing another as far as parking is concerned, delaying a person who may be in a hurry to leave off, may not necessarily utter a curse, but at the least cause some harm or the other to at least the feelings of a person. So let us inshallah be cognizant of that. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa afdalu salati wa atammu at-taslim, ala akram al-khalq sayyidina wa habibina wa shafi'ina wa maulana muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد وقال الله عز وجل ومن يؤت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحكمة ضالة المؤمن من حيث وجدها أخذها أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama ikram, حفاظ of the Quran al-Karim, elders and friends in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's try and recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. We praise Allah Azza wa Jal for His limitless favors that He perpetually showers upon us. And undoubtedly the greatest of all these being the ni'mah, the boon and the great favor of Iman. Such a favor that one really only fully would realize its great value when all inhabitants in the fire of Jahannam would have been placed there, amongst them some believers, for a cleansing process. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, the angels, and many other special categories of humanity would be permitted to go and intercede on behalf of the fellow believers who may, in the weakness of Iman, have committed errors for which they have to be cleansed. But finally, such a stage will come when there will be certain inhabitants in the fire of Jahannam whose Iman would be known to Allah alone. Not even the angels, the Malaika, would be aware of the Iman. It was of such a minute nature that only Allah, in His infinite wisdom and knowledge, would be aware of that atom's weight of Iman that a person may have possessed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala personally shall remove such believers from the fire of Jahannam. And by that time, all the inhabitants of Jannah would have been placed into Jannah. And a person who had left this world with Iman would be accorded the lowest of all forms of Jannah, and that Jannah would be equivalent to 10 times the size of the world. We learn this in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If one really deeply thinks and ponders on this point, it emphasizes the value and the greatness of Iman that Allah has blessed us with, without any eligibility, without us acquiring it or working towards it or paying for it or being worthy of it in any manner whatsoever. So we say alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praises be to Allah who has guided us to this great deen of Islam, and had Allah not guided us, never would we have reached this point of Iman and the beautiful teachings of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies in the verses recited to the abundance of wisdom that has been granted to a very special servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Luqman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. In today's talk, we look at some very pertinent advice that he has granted. Just to briefly run through the advice is broken into three categories. He says, be considerate and be cognizant of four parts of your body on four occasions. Thereafter he says, never make mention of two things. And thirdly he says, never forget two things in any given situation whatsoever. Prior to looking at these golden words of wisdom, whom Allah testifies to the wisdom of this great personality, just some insight into the person himself. Sayyidina Luqman radiyallahu ta'ala an originates from the very famous tribe called Nubah that exists up to this point in many parts of North and East Africa, parts of Egypt and other countries in East Africa. So was of African origins in the areas of Sudan and the lower parts of Egypt and East Africa. Was originally a slave, was in bondage to a man from the Bani Israel who loved the wisdom of Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu ta'ala an. And because of this, at some point he granted him freedom and with that a huge amount of wealth. Just to give some insight into the interaction with his owner, with his master. On one occasion, his master was cutting cucumbers, slices of cucumbers, and giving it to Luqman to eat. He continued eating the cucumber. When finally there was just one slice left, the master himself ate of it and realized then that it was extremely bitter. He reprimanded Luqman radiallahu anhu that I've been cutting and giving you these slices of a very bitter cucumber. Not once did you frown or utter a single word of complaint. Luqman radiallahu ta'ala, and this is a great lesson for us, especially in our interaction with our family members, with our benefactors, especially our wives. He says that for so many years you have been granting me delicious food to eat, so if it happens to be bitter on one occasion, why the need to complain? So Luqman radiallahu ta'ala an, who was also a relative of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, lived in the time of Dawood alayhi salatu was salam. According to the opinion of most of the scholars of tafsir, he was not a Nabi, rather was accorded a special station of wilayat, of being a very, very pious friend and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam had also appointed him as a judge, as a chief justice in his time. Another of the interactions that he had had with his master, we will look at some of them as the talk goes along, but many, many years later on, when a man walked past his gathering, and I think this summarizes the essence of the life of Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu anhu. A man walked past as he was tendering advices to thousands of people, to huge multitudes. When the man looked at the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came closer and studied him from close range, and after the gathering said to him, are you not such and such person who at some time in your life had herded the sheep of a certain master in a certain valley? Are you not the same man? Luqman radiallahu anhu responded in the affirmative that yes, I am the very same person. This man asked him, then tell me the reason from there to here, from zero to hero. How did you acquire the status? What are the main reasons, the ingredients for the success that you enjoy? Luqman radiallahu ta'ala in utmost humility responded to say four things. Qadarullah, I always respected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by extension the injunctions, the ordainments, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So extreme love and veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, wa adaul amana. Any amana and trust that has been placed in my care, I have executed to the best of my ability, knowing that my Allah is watching me. I did not breach the trust in any way whatsoever. Thirdly, was sidq al hadith. Truthfulness in my speech. I've aspired never to tell a lie at any stage. We learn in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beautiful hadith, Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I take personal responsibility for a home in Jannah for various people. بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحِقًّا. On one side of Jannah for that person who forsakes arguments even though he be in the truth and on haqq. Secondly, لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبُ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا. The person who forsakes lying even in joke and in jest. وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خَلُقُهُ. I take responsibility for a home in the highest stages of Jannah for that person who beautifies his or her akhlaq and character. So thirdly, he says, truthfulness in my speech. And fourthly, and very importantly, and I think pertinent to the advices that we are about to look at, وَتَرْكِي مَا لَا يَعْنِينِي. That I make every effort to refrain and abstain from anything that is of no benefit to me. We commonly hear the word la ya'ni. La ya'ni means that action or those statements or those gatherings or those activities that have no bearing or carries no benefit whatsoever for me in this world or in the akhirah. So he says such things, la ya'ni, I make every effort to refrain and abstain from them in totality. The man said that definitely these are four great qualities due to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accorded you this very high and great status. To repeat these qualities, he says, fulfilling the amana and the trust that Allah has placed upon me, veneration and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truthfulness in my speech, and fourthly, refraining from la ya'ni, from things that are void of any benefit. So going on to look at the advices that Luqman radiallahu ta'ala had tendered, he says, be watchful and be cognizant and guard four things on four occasions. And these are so all-encompassing qualities that they would apply to many, many aspects of our lives. Many current affairs within our lives would be sorted out if we really heed to these advices. He says, firstly, لِسَانَكَ فِي مُجَالَسَةِ النَّاسِ. Guard your tongue when you are in the gathering of people. When you are amongst people, be careful and be watchful in the way you use your tongue. Sometimes, as we learn in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person utters one single statement, and that statement happens to be so beloved to Allah. It may be so precious. It may mean so much to a person. You know, how many times we would meet a person and he would say, you know, on the occasion my father had passed away, someone had said those words to me, he may not even paid attention to it, but that had meant the world to me and has assisted me in carrying me through this great difficulty. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, sometimes you utter a single statement, it is so beloved, so precious in the eyes of Allah, that by its means Allah ta'ala elevates your status many, many ranks. On the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, sometimes a single utterance, a single sentence uttered, that a person does not even pay heed to its severity and how heinous it is, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is so despicable. It could have caused hurt to the heart of a mu'min. It could have been a means of fracturing the Muslim community. It could have been a means of compromising the Muslim ummah in some way or the other. So dislikable is the statement that it lowers the ranks of that person to the depths of the earth in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ ابْنُ آدَمَ فَإِنَّ الْأَعْضَاءَ كُلَّهَا تُكَفِّرُ اللِّسَانَ. When a person wakes up in the morning, then all the limbs, the entire body pleads and beseeches the tongue that please remain steadfast and obedient to Allah. For if you do so, we will follow suit. But if you slip and slide and engage in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will be a means of leading us all astray into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a lengthy hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given some very, very pertinent and great advices that encompasses the entire deen, at the conclusion of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ بِمِلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ. Should I not inform you of the crux of what I have said? In other words, let me give you some simple advice which if you adhere to, will facilitate the implementation of all the aforementioned advices. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in begged to be given the answer. All that our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in very wise words did was took hold of the Mubarak tongue and said, "Kuffa alayka hadha." Be absolutely watchful and careful in the way you use this part of your body, that is the tongue. There are so many sins of the tongue, that is ghiba, backbiting, that is equated to partaking of the flesh of a dead brother. Then there are statements of jealousy, there are statements of malice, there are statements of hatred. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that jealousy eats away the good deeds of a person just as fire consumes dry firewood. That is the effect of jealousy and statements of jealousy. So Luqman radiallahu ta'ala says, first and foremost, be watchful of your tongue when in the company of people. He himself once advised his son. The advices to his son are very, very famous. Mentioned in the Quran Kareem, with the utmost of love and compassion, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, O my beloved son, he continuously advised his son. In one of these advices, he says, O my beloved son, my experience in life has been that there are many times when I have made a statement which I had to regret, or at the least give second thought to afterwards. But he says, never has an occasion passed by where I chose to remain silent and thereafter I was regretful. Secondly, he says, وَعَيْنَيْكَ فِي بُيُوتِ النَّاسِ. Be watchful of your eyes, of your gaze, when in the homes of other people. One is obviously lowering our gaze from looking at haram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when tempted to look at haram at the opposite sex and one lowers the gaze for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala replaces that with such an ecstasy and sweetness of iman that one actually can taste the sweetness thereof. But this also incorporates that when we go to a person's home for the purposes of visiting, of socializing, firstly, when we meet another Muslim, we meet for the pleasure of Allah, that entire gathering becomes a form of ibadah. But we do not go into the home to study the quality of furniture or the curtains or what the house has been adorned with. That is the private property of a person. And if one begins to cast gazes towards these, it would lead to so many detrimental effects as far as our spirituality is concerned. It would lead to a person being desirous of that which is another person's property. It would also lead to one being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah has blessed me with. So he says, be watchful and guard your eyes when entering the home of other people. Thirdly, وَمِعْدَتَكَ عَلَى الْمَائِدَةِ. When sitting down to eat, when on the table or the dastarkhan, be careful of the amount that you consume. Let us remember the simple life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once said that sometimes 3 months would pass by us when there would be no need to light a fire to cook in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for we found nothing to eat but dates and water. So be guardful, be watchful of the amount you consume at the time of eating. Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu anhu once said to his son, wisdom does not enter a full stomach, and a hungry stomach is filled with great wisdom. The fourth, he says, وَقَلْبَكَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Be watchful and guard your heart while in salah. The moment we raise our hands in takbir tahrima until the time we end salah, that is time we have dedicated to speaking and communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very great pious person once said, you have the opportunity of communicating with Allah ta'ala on a daily basis. Somebody in surprise asked him, how can we speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, perform wudu and enter into salah. You are communicating and speaking directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our heart throughout the salah, you know, one of the highest levels in tasawwuf, in tazkiyah, the cleansing, the purification of the inner self, the entry point and the first point is to inculcate ikhlas and sincerity. And the highest stage that a person can ascend to is ihsan, being in a perpetual relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at all times, wherever we happen to be, whether in salah, whether in the privacy of our homes, whether in our business interactions, whether in social gatherings, one's heart is linked and attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very special status. It is called ihsan, worshipping Allah ta'ala as if I see Allah in front of me. And if that is not possible, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be aware that Allah is watching you at all times. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an's quality of salah was of such a level that on many an occasion it is mentioned that while being struck with an arrow in his leg in the battlefield in jihad, and he was extremely brave and extremely wise for this deen of Islam, many a times they would remove the arrow from his leg while he would be in salah, for he would become so engrossed at the time of communicating with Allah Ta'ala that he would be unaware of anything around him. On one such occasion, as an arrow had struck into his leg and he went on to perform his salah, without informing him, his companions went and removed that arrow. After salah, he noticed that many people had congregated around him. He asked them, "Have you gathered here to remove the arrow from my leg?" They told him, "We have already done so." He says, "Wallah, I had not felt an inch of pain as you had done so." So Luqman radiallahu ta'ala says that وَقَلْبَكَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, be watchful of your heart when you are in salah, that salah is dedicated entirely unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, when being asked about the behavior, the mannerism of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his family members, she says he would act as a normal, humble human being, would assist in the household chores, would be the best of husbands, to summarize what they have said. But she says the moment adhan would be called, it is as if we had never known Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he did not know us, as if we were total strangers, because his heart at that time was inclined only towards standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Luqman radiallahu anh says, be watchful of four parts of your body on four occasions: your tongue when you are in the company of people, your heart, your eyes when you are in the homes of other people, your stomach and your belly at the time of eating, and your heart when you stand up in salah. In the second tier, second stage of advices, he says, لا تذكر اثنين, never ever make mention of two things that you go through and experience, but never make mention of them, not even a single word about them. Firstly, he says, إِحْسَانَكَ إِلَى النَّاسِ, the ihsan, the favors that you have conferred to people, do not directly or even indirectly remind them or others about that. When we do a favor to a person, we are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And really at this stage, a great incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to heart. A sahabi who was a visitor requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to host him for the night. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to the homes of all the azwaj mutahharat. And this is the sacrifice with which the zin has come to us. All of them responded with one answer, that unfortunately there is absolutely no food in the home whatsoever with which to host the guest tonight. Finally, a sahabi, some make mention that it was Abu Talha radiallahu anh, requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give him the honor of hosting this guest. He took the guest to his home and said to his wife, "Tonight do not hold anything back. The best that we have, let us entertain our guest with, for no home is more fortunate tonight than we, for the fact that we have the mehman and the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our home." She said to him, "Unfortunately, we only have so much food in the home to suffice for ours and the children's hunger." He said to her, "At least tonight, lull the children off to sleep without them eating anything. And when the food is placed, extinguish the lamp, and you and I do not partake of anything. Whatever there is, let the visitor eat to his fill." This action was done in the darkness of night. Nobody was aware of it. The next morning when he came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled to him and said, "How have you treated your visitor? For indeed Allah has revealed verses praising this great action of yours." So never make mention of the favors that you have conferred upon others. Allah Ta'ala says, "La tubtilu sadaqatikum bil man." Do not destroy the sadaqah and the good that you do to other people by reminding them or making mention of it in public forums, so that that person can become ashamed. And secondly, he says, "Wa isa'at an-nasi ilayk." The harm that others have caused to you, do not make mention of that. Forget the wrong that has been done to you. Forgive for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or leave the matter unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, a sincere and a true believer is he or she who continuously makes mention of the favors that others have done upon them. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the occasion when a delegation had come from East Africa on behalf of Najashi to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madina Munawwarah, When this delegation had come and the main purpose was to study more deeply the commands of Islam, and Najashi, on account of his great treatment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was blessed with death on Iman. Now when this delegation was entering Medina Munawwarah, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeded to receive them, give them a warm welcome. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Let me personally welcome them." They responded to say, "Let us do this on your behalf." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Let me do this for the reason that they had honored my companions. When we were being persecuted in Makkah Mukarramah, they had granted sanctity and salvation, and they had granted asylum to my companions. The least I can do to repay that favor is to welcome them personally." So an outstanding quality that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed was to make mention of the favors that others had conferred upon him and make every effort to repay those. So two things we should never make mention of is the favor that we confer to others, and secondly, the harm that others have caused to us. Thirdly, he says, and finally, la tansa thnain, never forget two things. Continuously remember and make mention of in abundantly two things, al-maut wa dar al-akhirah, that is death and the life of the akhirah, the eternal life of the hereafter. Similarly, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَازِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ, abundantly make mention of that phenomenon that will be the means of cutting off all forms of pleasure, and that is death. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, whenever he would pass by a graveyard or the mere mention would be made of death, he would naturally weep so profusely that his entire beard would become moistened with tears. Somebody asked him, "O Uthman, when mention is made of Jannah and Jahannam, you are not so emotionally charged as in the mention of death and the Qabr." He says, "I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the very first of the stages of the Akhirah is death and the Qabr, and whomsoever succeeds there will be successful in all the coming stages." Another Sahabi once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man akyasu an-nas wa man ahzamu an-nas?" Tell me, who are the most wise and far-sighted of all human beings? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aktharuhum dhikran lil-maut wa aktharuhum isti'dadan lil-maut." The person who remembers death most frequently, and secondly, the one who thereafter follows it up in practice, who practices the most in preparation for the life of the hereafter, which is the eternal life to which there is no end. So he says, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was of the habit, once he had become Amirul Mu'mineen and becoming very engrossed in fulfilling the duties of the Khalafa and the Khidmah of the Ummah, he specifically appointed a person to stand outside his house and would even pay him for this. All that person had to do was that whenever Umar radiallahu anhu left his home, that person had to say, "Ya Umar, la tansa al-maut." Oh Umar, you're going about in your chores, but never forget death. That will bring an end to this and set you on your eternal journey of the hereafter. To repeat the advices of Sayyidina Luqman radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, be guardful, be protective of four things on four occasions: your tongue when being in the company of people, your eyes when visiting other people's homes, your belly at the time of partaking of a meal, your heart at the time of salah. Never make mention of two things: the favors that you have conferred to others and the harm that has been caused to you by others. And at all times, never forget, rather make mention of in great abundance, two things: death and the life of the hereafter. Now if we really put to practice what has been said, so many of the social ills and evils would be eradicated that are found within our communities. You know, jealousy, not sharing the happiness of others. One of my asatira has summed it up so beautifully. He says, in four conditions or four situations, another person's happiness, if that is my sadness, my brother, my Muslim brother or sister has enjoyed some favor, his or her happiness causes me anger and sadness, this is not an Islamic quality. A musibah, a difficulty that befalls another, and I rejoice and am happy at that, this is a very low and despicable quality. Thirdly, another person's happiness is my happiness. Another person's sadness is my sadness. I share in sadness. These are the two qualities of a mu'min. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us the ability to practice upon what has been said. to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our tongues, and unite us as an ummah at a time when the ummah is in dire need of great unity, in accordance with the foretelling of Rasulullah ﷺ, the prophesizing of Rasulullah ﷺ. We see the events in Libya, in many other parts unfolding. A time will come when nations will actually invite one another to cause harm to the Muslim ummah, as people invite one another to partake of a meal. So therefore, the unity of the ummah is of paramount importance. And if we work on a ground level in implementing these qualities, we'll go a great way, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.